Welcome to Cash Radio. Your host today is Ann Muller, editor of the Cash Courier and director of Cash, Committee to Abolish Sport Hunting. A big welcome to Frank Hoffman. Thank you, Frank, for being on the program.
You're very welcome.
We're honored to have you as our guest today. Frank Hoffman is a retired pastor and a member of the business community, and his foundation, the Mary T. and Frank L. Hoffman Family Foundation, hosts approximately 24 websites, including the Cash website. Frank, today we'll be focusing on hunting and religion. How is hunting treated in the Bible?
Well, basically, hunting is only mentioned in the Hebrew text, the Old Testament. And hunters are generally looked down upon. They may have been, like Nimrod was, called a man of renown, but it was renowned only because of his power and his power play and as a warrior, not as a compassionate leader. And all of the people that God emulates are the people that have a gentle and contrite spirit. And hunters are looked down upon in the Bible by the Jewish sages, and God never emulates. He never tries to amplify anything good about hunters. He only talks down about the wantonness of the killing. He doesn't specifically attack hunters, but everything in his teaching goes against it. And Esau and Nimrod were not looked upon with favor.
Right. And what do we know about the so-called hunting ministries, such as the Christian Bow Hunters of America?
It is a so-called ministry. In our personal opinion, such a, quote, ministry, unquote, is a blasphemy against God. It's people trying to justify their way of life. They don't want to give up hunting, and so they try to attract other hunters in the name of Christ to the church. But to me, that's going totally against his teaching. Jesus always taught us to raise the bar, to take one step higher on the rung towards perfection of God. He even goes so far as to say, you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So it's that kind of teaching that this doesn't bring out. This brings out the cruel side of human nature and tries to justify it. It is not a ministry.
Yes, it's quite insidious. Do you think that they're having much influence with young people today?
Yes, I do. I think they are with certain areas, particularly in the rural areas. I think they are having that because they're justifying a lifestyle that people didn't normally associate with the Lord, and they're trying to draw them in by saying it's what the Lord wants, and that's what calling it a ministry is. I mean, even have pastors that are members. Hmm. And to me, that's totally counter to the teaching. There's no such thing as a hunter rabbi. We would never see this in Judaism. And yet, Christianity adopts the whole of the Hebrew text into the Bible and never follows the teaching of the Jewish sages, which doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you're going to accept the Hebrew text, then you have to understand how it's interpreted. Mm-hmm. And to misinterpret it or to read things into what Jesus says that he didn't say or to claim that that's what he said when he didn't say it is totally against his teachings, totally against what I believe the will of God is, and that's why I say it's a form of blasphemy.
Yes, absolutely. How do they differ from plain vanilla hunters, the Christian hunters?
Well, it's not just a Christian hunter, and because there are Christian vanilla hunters, too, if you want to put it that way. The thing that bothers me more about, you know, an organization that claims to be a ministry is that they're claiming that the killing is of God, mm-hmm. and that God smiles on those that take pleasure in causing the death of another living being. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it so distasteful in my mouth. That's why I think it's so wrong. Mm-hmm. It does a tremendous amount of damage. The only people in the Bible that Jesus ever got angry at were the Pharisees who would not soften their hearts, would not change. And he was the only ones that he really got angry at, called them hypocrites. And one of the things he said was, you go all over the place trying to create one convert, and then you make him twice as much the son of the devil as you are. And I think that's exactly what Christian Vote Hunters of America is doing to our youth.
And how do they reach out to members?
They use the churches. And if you have a pastor that is a member, he's going to do it from the pulpit. It's really insidious. I think it's horrible.
So are they reaching out to pastors primarily?
No. They're reaching out to everyone. Mm-hmm. The problem is that there are many clergy in Christendom that are part of that lifestyle. And I can't see that being in any way, shape, or form like Christ. And to be a Christian is to be a follower of Christ. And that certainly isn't following the teachings of the Jesus Christ that I know in the Bible.
Well, Jesus, as we know, was truly compassionate, wholly compassionate. Did his message only pertain to humans?
No. In fact, the most popular verse in Christendom, I think, at least that the children usually learn, is "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son." If we get to that, it's when he says, "For God so loved the world," he's talking about the whole of creation. He's not just talking about human beings. Mm-hmm. He's talking about all of creation.
Mm-hmm.
Christ came to free creation from the corruption to which it was subjected.
Mm-hmm.
And we who call ourselves Christians are supposed to reach that level. We were supposed to, even in Jesus, tells us that we will be able to accomplish even more than he was able to accomplish. And that's because we can carry on his mission of love and compassion. It's not just getting converts and writing a check mark. You know, I got another one. That's not the way he was.
Right.
He wanted us to have new hearts, hearts that were soft and pliable, that would feel the pain and suffering of the whole of creation. And to kill, you know, another living being, particularly for pleasure, and not feel its pain and suffering, I just can't fathom that.
Yes, absolutely. Now, who was St. Francis of Assisi?
St. Francis was a member of the elite society of his day. He saw a lot of injustice in the world, and he felt a compassion for the downtrodden. And he turned his back on the riches of his father and went off into the wilderness, so to speak, and lived a monastic lifestyle. And everything he did was to teach compassion, whether it was for a human or for an animal. And he even goes so far as to call the physical creation, aspects of the physical creation, his brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. He just had a way of relating to the whole of creation in a loving way that shows his love of God. You cannot truly love God if we don't love his creation. And to abuse and destroy his creation cannot be in love of God. It has to be in love of someone else.
Thank you for that explanation. And so many of the great religious leaders had an all-encompassing love of both humans and animals and the environment. So it's very interesting. Now, if you could deliver a sermon to hunters and trappers directly, what would you say to them?
Well, I have delivered sermons to hunters and trappers, and I've done it in their churches, and they've been in my church. And the biggest problem is that usually they don't want to listen, and I've even had some of them walk out. My sermons are rarely directed against hunting,
mm-hmm.
but they're directed against cruelty, they're directed against wanton killing, they're directed against anything that would not be a peacemaker type of ministry. It's that we're to love the whole of creation. We're to be peacemakers. And Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called children of God." And Paul picks up on it and says that we're to be, as the children of God, we're to be the ones whom the whole of creation groans and mourns for, to free it from its corruption. And if we aren't that, we're not the followers of Christ. And these people that wantonly kill for personal greed or satisfaction have hardened their hearts, and they don't want to hear that other message. They don't want to change their way. And until we're emotionally involved enough that we begin to feel the pain and suffering of every other living being on this planet, we're never going to be able to change. We're to have a softened heart. We're not to harden our hearts. We're to soften our hearts. And I can't do it in a sermon. It's got to be their willingness to receive it. Because I know that if they're willing to open their minds and their hearts to what I'm saying, the Holy Spirit will do the rest of the work. And there have been plenty of hunters in the world who have felt that movement and decided, no, I can't do this anymore.
Absolutely. And we even know of some in our own movement who've given up hunting and have become great advocates for animals and have opposed hunting. So, Frank, thank you so much for being on the air with us, and we look forward to having you back soon.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.